Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Douglas Rushkoff, a world-renowned media theorist whose 12 books, including Life, Inc. and Program or Be Programmed, have won prestigious awards and have been translated into 30 languages. He is a commentator on CNN and a contributor to The Guardian, Discover, and has also made the PBS documentaries The Merchants of Cool, The Persuaders, and Digital Nation. He advocates for digital literacy at codeacademy.com and teaches at New York University and the New School. His latest book just out is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. Welcome to Background Briefing, Douglas Rushkoff.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
And Douglas, just to sort of deal with my puzzlement about this paradox, because I recently interviewed a specialist on the student loan crisis. And, you know, it's just that the student loan debt has just passed $8 trillion, making student debt second only to household mortgage debt. And this is a new phenomenon. In fact, you know, the millennial generation who have all of this electronic facility with iPhones and Twitter, et cetera, they're also being indentured in a way that's never happened before to the company store, if you will. And I don't understand this paradox where you have such you've got the most digitally sophisticated young consumers on the planet, but there are no jobs for them.
Yeah,
and they're laden up with debt. I mean, I'm sorry.
In some sense, it's the perfect equation, at least as far as corporate capitalism goes. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways that I look at this phenomenon, I guess, as a symptom of present shock. On the one hand, you have an economy, really, a money system that's based on time, right? The kind of money we use, which was invented back in, you know, 1200, is basically money with a clock in it. It's created. It's literally put into the system as debt. You know, so there's interest that has to be paid back in time and in a greater quantity than you borrowed it. So everything about our economy requires growth. It grows at the rate of debt. And when we don't have new colonies to take over, when we don't have new industries to expand, you know, we start looking for other ways to grow money, or investors do anyway. And in this case, it's, you know, rather than on the backs of homeowners, it's on the backs of students. You know, the irony is, of course, that students now, or people who want to be students, have a whole bunch of other means at their disposal to get an education, even for free. You know, they'll go to Coursera and Udacity and Codecademy, for that matter, and get their own, do their own sort of a la carte education. You know, but then, of course, the problem with that is when you have infinite choice as a student and can do everything exactly configured the way you want, you kind of tend to lose out on the wisdom of your discipline. You know, you sort of miss out on anything to do with surrendering your authority to some kind of a school or teacher.
Well, but you have to the government. I mean, what you're doing and others are doing in terms of providing alternative education. Our tax dollars are going to these rip-off for-profit colleges that pop up all the time. They spend most of their money on promotion and marketing, and they just recycle borrowed federal money that they get at real low interest rates, and then they charge it back at high interest rates, indenture these kids, and give them a worthless education. So there's
Absolutely.
A disconnect between what our government is doing and what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, well, luckily there's people who are putting up free. I mean, you could pretty much get as good or better free education online as you can paying for it. And I would even think in most cases when you're paying for it, what you're getting is worse than what you're getting for free. Of course, what you're paying for is this degree, is some, you know, accreditation from an institution, which is really the only thing that they have left to offer. You know, but I think the hollowness of these authorities or of these kind of central institutions to dub authority onto an individual is growing ever more clear to people. It's like, well, I can pay $20,000 and get this stamp of approval from, you know, University of Phoenix or something, or I can just learn all this stuff for free and go right to work. You know, that's part of what I'm looking at as a symptom of presentism, as a positive one, where people are doing things for their own sake. I'm taking this course in order to learn something rather than to get something else in the future.
Again, I'm speaking with Douglas Rushkoff, a world-renowned media theorist whose 12 books include Life, Inc. and Program or Be Programmed. He's won prestigious awards and has been translated into 30 languages, and he's a commentator on CNN and contributor to The Guardian, Discover, and also has made the PBS documentaries The Merchants of Cool, The Persuaders, and Digital Nation, and he advocates for digital literacy at codeacademy.com and teaches at the New York University and the New School. And his latest book just out is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. And of course, Present Shock, of course, is an obvious riff on Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. But just explain the central thesis, though, of how we're essentially technology is not the problem, but our misunderstanding of time, where the priorities of the moment seem to be everything.
Right. I mean, what I was looking at originally was just the notion that, you know, as we lived in the 90s, you know, and saw everybody kind of leaning into the future, becoming a futurist of one kind or another. It felt like the 1990s was very much about what is the next big thing, you know, and the internet came along. And as I saw it, was this terrific, terrific boon, really, for something else. I felt like, here we are. We've got this tool. Now we can begin to connect, and we can start making things. We can replace these interest-bearing currencies with peer-to-peer currencies. Instead of working through corporations, we can begin to transact and exchange value directly. But the internet phenomenon got sort of rebranded as this revolution, as this, you know, new kind of kick of steroids for the NASDAQ stock exchange, and really just an amplification of the same old industrial age values that were driving us off a cliff to begin with. You know, and as a result, I feel like the digital culture we got is much more a series of distracting pings and calls to marketing, and there's this sense of just continually needing to keep up with everything that's happening, rather than realizing that all of these tweets and Facebook updates and banner ads and even big data equations are all just trying to keep up with us. You know, that yet again we're being distracted from, you know, our true power as individuals and communities, which is by inhabiting the real world present moment.
But isn't there a problem, Douglas Rushkoff, in terms of a consensus on what is real in the real world? You mentioned in your new book, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, about the proliferation of conspiracy theories on the web, and that you talk about narrative collapse. And, of course, you have this phenomenon where on the right you have the birth of conspiracy theories, and on the left you have the 9/11 truth conspiracy theories. And there's no consensus anymore, or at least a diminished consensus anymore about what is true. People do their own reality shopping. Christians get their information from Christian TV, right-wingers from Fox, liberals from MSNBC, and so on. So I see that as an extraordinary danger as a society, when there's no consensus anymore about what is real.
Right. Well, there's a great challenge. I mean, as we emerge from a culture of stories, you know, which we believed, you know, these ends justify the means, eyes on the prize stories, whether it was, you know, Christianity or capitalism or communism or fascism or whatever, you know, to gather around a charismatic leader and follow them, you know, through hell into some future victory. You know, now that those stories have fallen away, you know, we've kind of realized in the 20th century that none of them are quite true, and that the ends don't tend to justify the means. You know, we're looking to make sense in other ways. And the danger, of course, is when you're trying to make sense completely in the present tense, is you just draw connections between things. You know, this must be connected to that, must be connected to that. You look for patterns where there are none just to try to see some order. I feel like that's more of a beginner's response. You know, and the more relaxed, the more comfortable we can get actually, you know, living in the present, the more we can begin to look to each other, you know, sort of off our screens and into each other's eyes, you know, off the news and into our own community. You know, and once you start connecting in a real way with, you know, with the people who are trying to grow food in your town and looking at how energy is produced and looking at how your economy actually works, then all of a sudden a lot of the things that you've accepted at face value, even, you know, jobs, which I've always had a problem with this notion of jobs being on the front burner of everything, who really wants a job? I mean, I think people want stuff, people want work, people want meaning, but jobs are actually a rather recent phenomenon, only, you know, since the invention of the corporation. We used to not work that way. You know, that as people kind of engage more fully in the moment they're actually in, and less in all of these symbol systems, less in all of these media, and certainly less in the you know, the kind of the strange silos that we find ourselves in when we go online and end up increasingly, you know, finding ourselves marketed back to ourselves. You know, the more chance we end up with getting, what I think is a more if anything, a fact-based bearing on our reality.
So do you think, that Douglas Rushkoff, that we can, as a society, you know, and particularly with the younger generation being indentured by the corporate state, can we move further towards a kind of more communitarian-based society that you're talking about, where materialism is not the main form of transaction, that there are other ways to barter, that we get off corporate food, that it's not just destroying our bodies with the obesity epidemic, but it's also destroying our agriculture and our land and our water. So there's any number of reasons that we should change our lifestyles to save the planet, in effect.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely believe we have more than the ability to meet our needs and one another's needs, you know, directly. You know, I feel like we can farm, and we can create alternative sources of energy. We can educate each other. You know, I think we have more than enough resources to go around. The real question will be how vociferously will kind of the established institutions enforce the debt that's already been created. In other words, if young people decide, you know, I can't pay this back, I won't pay this back, I don't care if I ever have a credit rating because I don't need a mortgage because I have a community where I can live and where we can support each other. The question is, as more and more people do that, will they reinstate things like debtor's prison? You know, will they really become, you know, intolerant of people just throwing their arms up and saying, I can't do this, but I won't do this. You know, you can't squeeze blood from a stone. I'm not even going to try to earn the kind of money I would need to pay you back. Goodbye.
So just back to your book, Douglas Rushkoff, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. Could you explain this notion that there's a dissonance between our digital selves and our analog bodies that has thrown us into a new state of anxiety, which you call present shock?
Yeah, I mean, in the particular kind of subcategory of present shock you're referring to is what I call digiphrenia. And the idea is that, you know, we thought, or people told us anyway, that the problem with the information age was going to be, you know, data overload, you know, too much information coming at you from everywhere, and you won't be able to have enough filters to process it. And what I'm finding instead, the real problem most people have, is that, you know, digital technology is really good for making copies of things, but people are not copied so well. So we end up with, you know, three or four or five different sort of incarnations or instances of ourselves online operating simultaneously, whether that's your Twitter profile or your Facebook thing. Zuckerberg and others at Facebook are, you know, right now using our images to advertise products to friends and friends of friends, even when we're logged off and not there. So when you have so many different selves sort of operating on your behalf out there, it becomes very disconcerting. It becomes very difficult to manage. And you go back online or go back to your inbox, and when you see what you, in theory, have done, it can be very disorienting. So I'm kind of arguing for people to take charge of these sort of mini digital representations and even kill off the ones that they don't feel are really well within their control, so that they're not, you know, kind of so off-centered and distracted by what they may or may not be doing.
Well, it often feels to me like you could turn Winston Churchill's great World War II adage, you know, never before in the field of human endeavor has so much been said by so many about so little.
Right. Exactly. Or so little been said by so many, or something in this case.
Right.
You know, because, and the thing is that most of the stuff people are writing out there isn't even really from themselves. They're just commenting on someone else's comment on someone else's comment.
Right.
You know, and it's just business. I mean, it's just more clutter, you know, and that's why, again, you know, I find, you know, that whatever's going on, whatever's vibrating on your cell phone, you know, is not as important as what's going on, you know, right in front of you with other humans. You know, just when you're, whether you're having a dinner or sitting on the couch, you know, the people that you're actually in real meat space with, as we call it affectionately, mm-hmm. Are valuable on a level that what's happening out in cyberspace just really never will be.
Well, Douglas Rushkoff, I thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for what you do.
Again, I've been speaking with Douglas Rushkoff, who's a world-renowned media theorist whose 12 books include Life, Inc. and Program or Be Programmed. They've won prestigious awards and have been translated into 30 languages, and he's a commentator on CNN, a contributor to The Guardian, Discover, and has also made the PBS documentaries The Merchant of Cool, The Persuaders, and Digital Nation. He advocates for digital literacy at codeacademy.com and teaches at New York University and the New School. His latest book just out is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And again, I'll be back again on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Bye for now. Love.